Life is hard. This show, The Southern Style Medium, is all about understanding your life struggles, why they happen, and how to fix them. Get ready to be enlightened with life tools and free readings each week by renowned psychic medium, life coach, and motivational speaker, Sharon Pugh, fondly known as the Southern Style Medium for her warm, humorous, and tell-it-like-it-is approach. And now your host, Sharon Pugh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Southern Style Medium. I'm your host, Sharon Pugh. I hope you're having a great day, whether you're at work, you're at home, you know, driving in the car, doesn't matter. But before I get started, I want to make sure that I give out my contact information. If you would like to book a reading with me, visit my website at SharonPugh.com. or thesouthernstylemedium.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Sharon Pugh. You can find me on Twitter. I am currently about a month booked out on prepaid readings, but I don't want to let that scare you off. Sometimes I have cancellations. Sometimes clients need to move, you know, an appointment out. You know, so get on the waiting list. But I do make time to do instant readings. And this is a pay by the minute, so you can control how much you pay. You can find me at Best American Psychics and Best Psychic Directory. Just look for my profile with the green button on. But so let's get to today's show. I'm so excited about this show. This is my second show, and I'm still trying to work out the kinks and simplify things, you know, a little bit better. But each Thursday, I'm going to talk about something that I think, you know, you guys can really relate to and get excited and you use in your everyday life. And after the 20 minute break, you know, if you call in, I'll start, you know, taking your calls. So if you're listening and you do want to speak to me, go ahead and call in and get into the queue. You know, that would be great because there's only 6 lines. And once those fill, you'll have to wait for for a caller to get done with the reading before I can get you in the queue. If nobody calls in, then I'm just going to keep talking. And again, not that everybody from the South talks slow, but I don't talk very fast, which is why, you know, this basic psychic real estate series is going to be divided up into different parts. But, you know, if you want to call in, you know, I don't ask for your full name. And the only thing that I get is your first name and area code. So please don't be shy and call in because I love, love, love doing readings on the radio show. So today I'm going to take you guys through a workshop about psychic real estate. And again, I'm not going to be able to get to everything today. So this is part one. And so let me start with psychic real estate is basically everything energy and some things physical about buying and selling your home, or just about living in your home with peace and harmony, because this is our sanctuary. This is where we come home and we unwind after the day. So it needs to have that peace and harmony vibration to it. It's so important. And I came up with different categories that I want to use to do the psychic real estate series. And I divided it into different areas. And it's basically architecture, building materials, land history, numerology. And I'm not a numerologist. I don't do numerology, but you'll find out why I use numerology. Relationships, if you're married, if you're, you know, going through a divorce, you live alone and want that relationship to come into your life, it's so important on an energetic level. the birth of a baby, you know, the new soul incarnating into this life, bringing that baby home to your, you know, bringing that baby home, it's so important. A terminal illness of a loved one, and you may have a spouse or a parent that you want to bring home, and it's important that the vibration that they're in stays consistent. Mental health, different types of mental health, you know, issues, whether you have a child that has autism or Asperger's, or you have somebody that has Alzheimer's, it's so important for your home energy to be balanced and be healthy. And the last thing is, you know, paranormal activity. So today I'm going to really start at the foundation. So I'm going over land history and architecture first. So the reason why I'm doing this is the first thing that you're going to start out with is where you're going to build or buy your home. And then you're going to start looking for that kind of style and design for your new and existing home. And land history is probably the most important thing that you want to put on that checklist. And the first thing that I want to start out with is never, ever build on or near Native American burial ground. They don't like it, and they take great offense to it. And I've seen more paranormal activity on Native American burial ground than I have anywhere else. And I have traveled all over the United States investigating paranormal activity. You know, look for hooks in a river. You know, get out a map and see how far a river or a creek is from where you want to build a home or where that home that you're thinking about buying is. And I, you know, these aren't curves, you know, regular wide natural curves of the river. They're very, very sharp hooks. And to me, it looks like a J shape. And this would be where Indians fish. They built their villages and raised their children. So it's safe to say that Indians were going to bury their loved ones somewhere near where they lived. The other thing about Native American burial grounds are, you know, what we've probably seen on TV and, you know, archaeologists that, you know, dig around them are the mounds. And mounds are, and I hope I can describe this where you get a general kind of a idea of what I'm talking about, but they're raised formations that stick out of the ground. And, you know, because I know what they look like, they stick out like a sore thumb to me. But they usually have two long sides and two short sides at the top and the bottom. And so if you find out, you know, kind of jumping back to if you have an existing home and you find out that, you know, that home is already on or near a burial site or even a hook in the river, I don't want you to pack your bags and just get up and walk out of your house. I don't want you to do that at all. So if you're not having any paranormal activity, leave it alone. Because you sometimes, when you don't have anything energy-wise happening in your home, and you bring in paranormal investigators, and they bring in their K2 meters and infrared cameras and digital recorders, because I've done it myself, you know, you start saging and doing blessing rituals, that can actually cause activity. So, you know, that old saying, you don't want to try and fix what isn't broken. But if you are living on, you know, a hook in the river or a burial mound, and you're having some really strange things happening in your home, then absolutely find a shaman. I always recommend when you're dealing with, land history that has Native American, burial grounds, or that's where they lived, a shaman is the best person to come in and bless the land and the home. And it's all about, asking for forgiveness, asking for permission, and making amends. So it's not about cleansing or clearing the land, because the Native American energy is there and it's going to stay. So probably on next week's show, I'll be talking about things that you can do yourself outside of working with a shaman. Alrighty, let me go in, and I'm trying to keep these things kind of, in my mind as a checklist. But another one that you should really pay attention to is whether or not a historical battle has occurred. And this battle doesn't even need to be where you live, just close by. But the good thing about historical battles and why so many homes are built on or near, near them, and they don't have paranormal activity, is because that kind of energy, from what I, what I have from my own personal investigations, is residual or leftover imprinted energy. And it's basically just that. It's leftover, imprinted. It plays itself out over and over again. So if you're sitting in your living room, and this would kind of freak me out a little bit too, but if you see a uniform spirit go through your room, and it happens to be the same time every day, and this is going to sound corny, but, say it's every Friday at 2 o'clock, that is residual energy. If you hear gunshots or you smell gunpowder, that's residual leftover energy. On very rare occasions, you buying or building a home where a historical battle took place, sometimes hauntings do occur. And the difference between the residual energy of the historical battle and the active haunting is how you feel in the home. If physically things are happening to you, you're feeling cold spots, or you're feeling cold and it's 90 degrees outside and you don't have your air conditioning on, you have unusual bruising, being woken up in the middle of the night, feeling like somebody is watching you, this is when you do want to bring in somebody to bless and clear your home using sage, holy water, or whatever in the heck you want to use. Because, I teach, workshops on, how to bless and clear your home. And it truly is the intention of the cleansing and the blessing that rids the home of that activity. So kind of I'm going to jump gears a little bit, because this series is so long and I want to try and cover as much as I can. So this is just something that I want to touch on briefly. It's not that important, but, it's important enough that I want to mention. Railroad tracks, believe it or not, there's thousands of miles of railroad tracks across the United States and in other parts of the world, no biggie. But through my paranormal research and working near railroad tracks, I found that those tracks that go back to the 1800s and early 1900s, people were experiencing a spike in paranormal activity. And, this even had me a little bit stumped. I don't know what the reason is, but I do work with, people as a paranormal investigator, and I tell them, if you're planning on moving, selling your home, at some point, if it's not now, if it's in the future, you know, find out where those tracks are and try and move at least, you know, 2 to 3 miles out. All right, this next, you know, ley lines. I'm just going to jump to ley lines, and it's not L-A-Y, it's L-E-Y lines. And these are really cool. This is the most fascinating thing about the land history that I love to work with. But they're basically ancient trails, which are connected through dense forestry, mountains, or open fields. And, you know, I think of them I don't want to say I think of them, but they are historical trails where, you know, significant, you know, and it's usually very emotional events, hardships, you know, where those occurred, you know, some which now may be monuments like Stonehenge. You know, also the Trail of Tears. I'm not a history buff. I don't know that much about the Trail of Tears, but the Trail of Tears starts near me, and I know that's where they gathered up Indians and made them walk for hundreds of miles, you know, many which, you know, passed away along the path. And so the Trail of Tears started from one location and ended in another. So let's say you take, you know, every significant event that happened over a million years. Well, okay, all right, I'm exaggerating a little bit, so maybe not a million years, but spread out a map and then draw straight lines from one event to the next. It'll kind of look like a spider web, and anywhere you see a straight line is a ley line, but some ley lines are curved, you know, but only in mountainous areas. So I'm going to take this a little step further, kind of in the beginning, why I'm calling this a little bit of a workshop. So you may have to, you know, play this show back a little bit and go, okay, what did she say? But, you know, inside of those ley lines are vortexes, which is a swirling of energy, you know, kind of like a tornado, but the vortexes actually spin in the opposite direction. And these vortexes can be good energy and not so good energy. And I have to say that North Carolina has the best ley lines. I actually did a Best American Psychic retreat in North Carolina, and where we stayed and we did the retreat had the, you know, most amazing ley lines to it. But we are getting ready to go to break, and like I said, is, you know, what I don't get to today, I will pick up and start with next week.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back to the Southern Style Medium Radio Show on Ohm Times. I left off with the ley lines in North Carolina, and I promised when I created the show that I would, you know, talk about something that I think would be a great life tool for you. So where I have left off, I'm going to continue next week, but I promised that if I had callers, I would take them. So let me end with the ley lines in North Carolina, and I want to take a Carrie from Mobile, Alabama.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, all right. all right, so what would you like to ask me?
I'm not really sure. Polly arranged for me to call in today.
Okay.
Yes, to talk about Andy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I want you to just sit back and listen to what I'm going to give you, because it's like, whoosh, he just popped in. And so I just want you to say yes, you know, or no, if this makes sense to you. And if you feel like there's something that you want to jump in and ask me, I absolutely want you to do that. Andy was, you know, was your boyfriend. You guys were living together, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's the first message that, you know, that I'm getting is and I hope this makes sense to you, is I brought him to you. He brought you someone that you're going to grow with and be in a relationship with.
Wow.
But I don't see that, you know, I'm seeing it as a friendship. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Know that this relationship is going to go extremely slow, and I'm seeing as we get closer to wintertime that the relationship is going to pick up, you know, a little bit, and you're nowhere near. I'm getting a lot of wounds that, you know, that need to heal, and a lot of guilt that you need to release. And do you mind if I give you what I'm getting, no matter how difficult it is for you?
No, I don't mind.
Okay. All right. He took his own life, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know, I get, sometimes I get things because I do work with law enforcement. You know, I currently work with a group of mediums that work directly with law enforcement. And so when I remote view, I go back to, you know, what had happened. And I'm getting that he had a mental illness. He was very depressed, had a lot of anger. He was so angry. Does this mean anything to you? I just get anger.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I get alcohol, drinking, lots of drinking. And if this doesn't make any sense, please feel free to tell me, but I'm going to give you what I get. You know, I don't hold anything back. If spirit gives it to me, I'm going to give it to you. Why am I seeing pills? like white pills?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't ever see any.
Okay. All right. I'm just seeing them, and I want to give you that.
Okay.
It's important that you know that he's right on the threshold of crossing over. And it's as he looks behind him, he can see, God, Jesus, archangels, spirit guides, loved ones, and they're all, surrounding him and going, okay, whenever you're ready, we will receive you. He's very calm. He's beaming. He's smiling. And he says that at nighttime, you will feel something on you, like a touch, like you lay there and you feel him, sometimes touching your head or touching your arm. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. That's him. Yes. Okay. And because he is, when I work with, our loved ones that have committed suicide, and even those that haven't committed suicide and they've passed by accident or terminal illness, they sometimes hesitate in crossing over. They feel that they need to make amends and they need to make sure that we're okay. And so it's important that you know and don't question that when you feel him touching you, that it's you. It's so important, and I'm so glad that you called in today, because it's so important that I don't want you to open yourself up. I don't want you to look for him, and I don't want you to, ask for him to come in. He's there.
Okay.
But you've got to give him permission to cross over. Because I'm seeing that you've started the healing process. You are in a new relationship, even though I don't see that it's very romantic. He's done his part. He's brought you someone new, and it's not to take his place, but you do need to let him know that, I'm okay. And I will be okay. And I do like it when you come and visit me, but you can cross over, because even though he crosses over, he can communicate with you better, in the realm of heaven than he can on the outside of the realm of heaven. So that's very important.
Okay.
And you need to go into meditation and ask him, please. What was his first name again?
Andy.
And A-N-D-Y?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that you would like to ask him?
Is he staying back because of me?
No. He's staying. He hasn't fully crossed over because he needs to make sure. And it doesn't mean that he's not in transition. Yes, I have a window into heaven and I can see things, but I only get glimpses of that. So him, standing on the outside of the realm may not mean that he's earthbound. He's not earthbound by any means. It's just more of, he needs to make sure that he brings you that person that you're going to be with, that you're okay, and that you know that he's okay. Because I see him, and I know that this is a very difficult, he used a gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay.
In front of me.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. It was a very passionate, he was angry at the time, and he didn't really understand what he was doing. And then he went, oh, crap, what did I just do? Mm. Okay, I'm looking at myself. I'm not here anymore. I can't come back. And he wants you to know that it wasn't done to hurt you. It wasn't because he's angry at you. There's so much love that he's giving off. And, you know, this, some people will say, you know, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. No, you don't. You know, if you do it out of a spite or trying to hurt somebody, you know, you will just come back and you do it again. He was very, you know, mentally sick. And do you understand the anger, jumping from the anger to sadness, to frustration, to confusion? And he had problems with relating to people. He was angry at everybody. He was angry at his family. He was angry at you. And then he was angry, you know, angry one minute, and then he loved you so much the next. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's clear cut. You know, hello, there's something wrong. And your part, you know, him exiting the way that he did is a big blue dot on your soul contract. I promise you that. Because you're growing spiritually from this. And even though it's so uncomfortable and it's miserable and it hurts and you still think about it, it's part of your spiritual growth. And, mm-hmm. you know, as a kind of switching gears here a little bit, you are going to come out of this with so much power, so much personal power. And it's important that you don't, you know, you're not going to forget him, but it's so important that you take this experience and you help others that are going through the same thing. So I want to see you become an advocate. I want to see you help others that have had this happen.
Okay.
So will you promise to do that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'd like to work with you a little bit more because there's some very personal messages that he has for you that I don't really want to do them on radio. So will you reach me outside of the show?
Okay. Message or
message. You can, my phone number is 404-437-5336.
Yes, I would love to hear any message that he has.
Okay. These are just a little bit more on a personal level, and I'd like to do them, you know, outside.
Privately.
Yeah, privately outside of the show.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for, you know,
thank you for calling in.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Okay. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. All right. I think I've got a Sherry from Texas.
Yes. This is Sherry.
Hi, Cherie. How are you?
Hi, Sharon. I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm doing good. I'm on, as you know, I'm on my second show, so I'm trying to be, you know, to be a teacher and then a psychic medium, take calls, but I'm having so much fun with it. This is great. So what can I do for you today?
So I had a question. This is something I've never really kind of, I guess, inquired about before. Several years back, I actually lost my niece. And, you know, that was really, I mean, it was my niece. So my younger sister's first child, that was really a defining experience for me in my life. For some reason, I was just really close to her. And I just wanted to know if you could look into that to see, you know, how she was doing or if she was around. And
Okay, what's her first name?
Madison.
Okay, this was a sudden passing?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay. Ah, yikes. I get metal to metal or a sudden was car accident or what is a metal to metal?
The car is because it, well, the way I remembered it and it really transpired in my brain is we were taking a trip to visit family. So we spent a lot of time in the car. Her health started to decline. It was like an 8-hour drive in the car. And I was actually driving. And me and my sister, we were going to visit family. So in the car, on our way there, she started to run a fever.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. You know, I'm getting that there was something that she contracted and went downhill very quickly. And again, you know, I tell people, yes, I am, you know, a psychic medium and I can connect with the physical body and I can connect with spirit, but you know, I'm not God. So I almost get like a meningitis thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean anything to you?
She had sickle cell anemia, and she had gotten, I guess it was a virus, she had gotten sick. So, of course, you know, when you have that kind of condition, when you get sick, it, you know, easily can, you know, escalate. And so it was really quick and sudden because she had gotten sick before. You know, this was around Christmas time. So, when we made it to my grandparents, and she had labored breathing all of a sudden. So we took her in, and she never made it out. That was on Christmas Day. So that was a really traumatizing experience.
Okay. All right. I've got her because I'm seeing her in a hospital setting, and she is having trouble breathing. So when we come back from break, I want you to stay with me. And after Cherie, I'm going to take a call from Iowa from a Diane. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to the Southern Style Medium. I'm your host, Sharon Pugh. I have Cherie from Texas on the phone, and we were talking about your niece, Madeline, correct? Madison.
Correct. Madison.
Okay. All right. You know, while we were on break, I was doing some automatic writing, and this is kind of a form of communication. When loved ones come through, I will write messages. And although I don't see her as a small child, she talks about and this may not make sense to you, but I'd love for you to share this radio show with her family. And a few things that I got was My Pretty Pony, or My Pretty Pony, where the mane comes out, hair. Did she like doing hair?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because I get braiding, you know, like braiding, you know, of the mane. Was she like 13 or 16?
Madison, she was.
Yes.
Almost three, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Well, like, okay. She was 3 years.
Been that long. Yeah.
Okay. 3 years old. Okay. I'm like, wow. Okay. She's an old soul. Sometimes, you know, when they're showing me, because I wrote down, you know, 13, then I wrote down 16. It's like, okay, they're trying to show me the three. Okay. So the My Pretty Pony, doing the hair, and she was very quiet, but she was the one that, you know, if she was quiet, she was up to something. She was thinking about something. It's kind of like, okay, where is she? And you know, also, Cherie, know that up into the age of 4, we have the ability to retract our soul contract and go back home and redo our soul contract. And that's what I see her doing. And there, you know, as I look at her face, she has this kind of smirky grin, almost like even if she did something naughty, she would have this smirky grin on her face, and then you couldn't be mad at her. She was just...
Yes, that's her.
Okay. So, you know that pink and purple, does that mean anything?
Yeah, she was definitely a girly girl. She did love My Little Pony. And she had a bunch of dolls she carried around with her, and it was all about the hair. And she was definitely an older soul. I will say that it's really odd because we had a really big connection, and this sounds strange, but for some reason I didn't feel like she like was just kind of like part of the family or blended well with the family. Like it's kind of like I almost knew that, you know, she was just different, you know, and it didn't feel permanent, you know, in my brain as far as all the other, you know, babies that have come into the family. It was just like they just blended so well in, but she was just different, and we were just so close. So that really, really affected me, which is why I really don't talk about it very often.
Well, I want you to. Really want you to, you know, you and your family talk about her, because she is an old soul. And the reason you don't feel that connection is because she wasn't part of your soul family. She came in to create that challenge. And, you know, and she just is, you know, again, almost like the young man, you know, who passed away with the last caller. She's beaming. And so watch out for her. You know, usually when I do a reading, you'll find that for like the next 48 hours, you'll have this activity. So pay attention to, you know, your hair. If you feel something with your hair, you know, pay attention to that. But she is fine. She really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much. You're wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetie. Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Okay, we have Diane from Iowa.
Hi.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Sharon. How are you today?
I'm good. As you can see, I'm busy, but I'm just doing what I love. You are just a
fabulous.
Big ball of energy.
I know. I'm so excited. I can't believe I get to talk with you.
Oh, you're just, I feel like I'm going to jump out of my chair. It's like, oh my gosh. Well, you got to hold me down. All right, honey, what do you want to ask me?
Well, I guess it's up to you, but when you were talking earlier about the Lakota or about the Native American burial grounds, I used to actually live in a Victorian house that had 3 apartments, and I was the only one that lasted. Everyone would leave the place all the time, and these guys would come and turn on, back when CD players were big, they set on about 3 in the morning and play with me, and I was so used to them that they didn't really scare me as much, but they really were kind of tough on some of the other tenants.
You're like a tank. We're going to scare everybody out of here, and they're like, oh my gosh. Okay, Diane's not going anywhere, so we're just going to have to make amends with her and be nice to her.
Yeah, they tried to play with me, but I just pretty much got to know them, and I didn't really, I just got used to it, and people that would leave the apartment would come back later. They never really befriended me until after they were somehow evicted by the ghost, so to speak, but they'd come back and they'd talk to me and I'd say, oh yeah, well that's this ghost and well that's, and they were so happy because they thought they were losing their mind. And I was like, no, it's just the Native Americans. This is kind of a rough spot here. And, you know, they're not always nice. But, and we even had a guy from, a Lakota guy, try to come in to move them on, and they would not move, especially the one in the basement. But I did have a remedy where they put sea salt, I think it was salt and beef jerky, on pieces of paper around my bed so I could sleep at night at least.
Oh my goodness. You know, and that's what I was talking about earlier. You know, they're not going to leave. You can't smudge, sage, you know, or move them. They're there to stay. You either got to make amends with them or you're going to be the one to go. So it's not like, you know, Mr. John, you know, who was a farmer here.
Right.
So,
right.
It's,
so
you know, you have to ask forgiveness. It's not about going in and going, okay, you're out of here, because they don't play. You know, you showed them disrespect. So I, you know, I'm actually seeing this Victorian home that you lived in, and I'm seeing it. And this is something that I'm going to be talking about next week, and it's a third eye window. And it's, so I'm going to go into, cause I, you know, I, like I said in the very beginning, I don't talk very fast. I'm from the South. So I'm going to get what I can out, and then I'm going to pick it up next week. But you know, the house itself held beautiful energy. What happened is the tenants that live there did things that showed the Native American Indians disrespect. They didn't like what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes sense to you?
Makes total sense. In fact, the ones that would rent out the back apartment below me, I was up on the top floor, but the small apartment in the back were always, I felt like it was a testing ground for people. They were usually third generation psychics, and they were really rough back there. One of the gals from, I think she was from Chicago, that rented that place, I found out after she moved out that she was practicing African voodoo, and I said, oh no, you don't do that.
Oh,
you don't do that.
Okay.
No wonder they got rough with you, you know.
So, okay, thank you for validating that, because I was, you know, I was hearing it wasn't so much that they were there, it's what they were doing. And no amount of forgiveness, but I get you're so grounded. You're so grounded to the earth. You're so grounded spiritually that you could adapt anywhere. And
I
see that you're very respectful. You're very respectful for space. You're not only for your own, but for, you know, other people's space as well. So you're not going to have a problem.
Thank you. Yes, I'm always careful because I'm so sensitive energetically that I really pull my energy in so that I'm not spewing, or people don't realize when they do that. Honestly, it's very unconscious, I think, for a lot of people. But even if a spirit is coming into my place, I say respectfully, I ask them to leave. And they definitely respond to that much more than getting angry at them or shaming them for being in your place, because we don't know if they were here on the land before us or not. So it's always good to show anyone respect and honor in asking to leave your own house, because you really don't know if they were there before you.
This house keeps popping out, and it may not have been blue, the color blue, but I see the color blue.
Well, see, my condo is blue. The condo that I own in the same town is blue with white, but the haunted house was downtown on a main street next to the library, and it was a mint green. It was a two-story. I lived upstairs. I had a flat roof out back where I could go through this little window and lay out. It was very enchanting, wooden floors. It could have been on the Historical Society for funding, but there was so much paranormal activity in that house. So I just adjusted to it. And I think being part Native American, part Iroquois, they kind of, you know, I think they accepted me, and it was easier for me than others, I think.
They did, because you showed the respect that the other ones didn't. And I even get to this day that house still exists and people still come and go from it. You know, so the the blue house is your house that
this
I'm seeing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very close to a graveyard. So you might see spirits around there too.
They're on the. Yeah, no, there are spirits on the outside, but nothing, you know, very good energy. I feel like you've got some, you know, some things that happen that you can't explain, but nothing that, you know, where I would go, okay, all right, Diane, I'm on my way, I'm bringing a team, and we'll take care of this. It's absolutely, you know, beautiful energy. And By the way, going back to the Victorian home, there was a Jeffrey that was watching you quite a bit.
Oh, a man, a human that was watching me, a regular.
No, in the Victorian home, I get a male spirit, not an actual, you know, earthbound real person, but a spirit, and I get the name Jeff or Jeffrey.
Oh, wow. Well, there were so many spirits. Like, at times I could smell, like a newborn baby. At times I could smell cherry tobacco, someone that I knew actually had recently died that was a Ghostbuster up in Milwaukee. And I think he might have came to visit me about a week after he died. But I would get different spirits it almost felt like a vortex where it would bring in different spirits.
I can absolutely see that. And, you know, to this, but I also get this gratefulness that you give off, almost like you have an altar, or you give back to spirit.
Oh, yeah. I had a Katina doll that I kept on my dresser. And actually one night a friend of mine had just gone back to Colorado. His dad was dying of Parkinson's, and his dad used to work on a Hopi Indian reservation. And this guy was dying. He was an old high school friend's father. But I said, be sure to call me when you get into Denver to make sure that you get home okay, I said to him. And about 10 minutes before he called, I had lit a candle and next to the Katina doll for his dad and said some prayers, and I had some flowers there. And I woke up 10 minutes before my friend called, and lo and behold, this is only the second time I've seen a full-fledged spirit that showed himself to me, but it was a Native American man with long black hair, and he had bib overalls on, believe it or not, with no shirt underneath. Very strong man, and he was holding the Katina doll looking at me. It was the most incredible experience.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. You know, Diane, I want to thank you for calling in. You are so fascinating, and we have come to the end of the show for the Southern Style Medium. And okay. I will pick up where I left off next week, and we will take calls. We will talk about interesting things. You guys have a great week. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.